This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The United Nations Security Council is now preparing to meet in New York to discuss an American call for a multinational force to be sent into Iraq. Under a proposed resolution, the coalition is pledging to give up some political control in Iraq to the United Nations in exchange for military and financial aid to rebuild the country. But since the U.S. ignored international opinion before the invasion, the Security Council may focus first on some other issues. The latest from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
It's the first gathering since most of Europe's foreign ministers took their summer breaks, and it promises to plunge them straight back into thorny debates. As well as Iraq, the much-discussed plans for a common EU defence policy are on the table. Germany, Belgium, Luxembourg and France are all in favour of establishing a new European Union military headquarters independent of NATO, but the proposal has been criticised by Britain and slammed by Washington. Italy, which currently holds the EU presidency, has also asked that the final text of the EU constitution be signed and sealed by mid-December. Suzanne Chislett, London.
President Bush is still trying to defend the rising costs of a post-war Iraq, the latest estimates ranging its costing up to $70 billion. The president was interviewed yesterday on CNBC.
I will tell you, though, I think it's going to be very important for us to do what is necessary to succeed in Iraq. And the reason why it's important is because a free Iraq and a peaceful Iraq will affect peace and freedom in a part of the world that really needs peace and freedom, and that's the Middle East.
The president also said he was confident his economic policies are creating the right conditions for job creation. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is continuing a visit with U.S. troops in Iraq today. He stopped earlier near Tikrit in northern Iraq. He said conditions in Iraq are, quote, getting better every day. Then the defense chief also urged U.S. allies to send an extra 15,000 troops to aid in the post-war efforts. Meanwhile, more violence today in Iraq. A Sunni Muslim mosque was sprayed with gunfire. One person was injured.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
More Americans are now finding themselves without a paycheck. The latest unemployment report from the Labor Department shows 93,000 people were laid off in August. That's the fastest rate since March. Largest cuts came in the manufacturing and service sectors. Bermuda is bracing itself to bear the brunt of Hurricane Fabian's force. That storm should be a Category 3 by the time it makes landfall today, with 120-mile-an-hour winds and waves reaching 30 feet. Meanwhile, coastal Florida can expect heavy rain, high winds, and possible tornadoes as well, as Tropical Storm Henri heads that way.
Hey, honey, I rented some videos. Thought maybe we could just stay in tonight, snuggle on the couch.
Great. I'll put one in.
Use a wrench to disconnect.
Honey, this is a video about how to repair a washing machine.
I know. Shh. I love this part.
Have a passion for fixing things? Sears has over 4.5 million parts for all major brands of home appliances and lawn equipment. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME. Click on Sears.com or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find parts for all major brands, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Good life, great price.
Former President and Nobel laureate Jimmy Carter says both the U.S. and North Korea are to blame for failure to reach an agreement concerning the North's apparent nuclear ambitions. Speaking in Tokyo, Carter said recent multilateral talks in Beijing are an important first step.
This is not an impossibility to work out such an agreement, and it's crucial that Japan and other nations support this process and encourage flexibility on both sides until an agreement can be reached.
Carter denies he's planning a visit to North Korea as part of a diplomatic mission, but says he would go if asked. Israeli troops killed a suspected West Bank commander of the militant group Hamas in a raid today. An Israeli soldier was also killed and four others wounded in the operation in Nablus. The raid ended when soldiers blew up an apartment building where Mohammed al-Hanbali was reportedly holed up. The army says Israeli forces raided the building to detain Hanbali, who opened fire on them. Israeli security says Hanbali was responsible for the deaths of dozens of Israelis through suicide bombings he helped to plan. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Cucumbers, jazz, Gwyneth Paltrow, and khakis. Speaking of cool things, how's your vehicle's cooling system stacking up for the summer? Don't sweat it. When I come back, I'll tell you how to chill out. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. It's hot, and you're working hard. You can't go another foot till you cool off. Aha, now you know how your car feels. In fact, overheating's the number one cause of breakdowns. Like our bodies have a cooling system, cars do too. They rely on radiators to keep their engines from boiling over. To properly cool, these systems must be maintained with correct proportions and levels of coolant water mixture. So this summer, think cool, calm, and collect the money saved by radiator check. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast. Streaming from outer space on stream 145 of the Sirius satellite radio system and broadcasting live on the internet from IEAmericaRadio.com, RadioPower.org, Live365.com, and with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. We're going to listen to some voices from the distant past and the momentary past. Here's just a sample from 1936. We're going to get into this in our second hour.
There are no crime in history more terrible than intention for execution.
There's no crime in history more terrible, said Leon Trotsky.
Than the Moscow trials of the Novi communists and Radin.
Than the Moscow trials of the communists. Say what? What are the roots of the neoconservative movement in America? What are the roots of the neoconservative movement in America? Very, very interesting. We're going to get into that. I want to talk about the Democratic presidential debates last night. I'm going to listen to some of the Democrats, what they had to say, and try and get some perspective on this. Of course, you know, on all the con talk shows today, all the conservative talk shows, they're going to be taking Howard Dean's 2 faux pas, where he referred to Latin America as a hemisphere, and his first one, where he kind of fumbled over his own feet in his first talk. He was the first person called on, and he had this deer in headlights look, and obviously was trying to fall back on a prepared or a memorized speech and blew it. But, I guarantee you, it's probably happening right now that on the con shows, the radio programs, and the con commentators, that they who will stitch together George Bush's verbiage in such a way that it makes him sound like an eloquent speaker. I mean, even CNN does this, the Washington Post does this, the New York Times does this. When Bush first came into office, his press people started complaining to the major media that they were quoting the president accurately. How dare they quote the president accurately? Actually including things that the president actually said. We can't have that. It's a disaster. And so they started cleaning this stuff up, but they're not going to clean up Howard Dean, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. But first, a few bits from the news. And today is September 5th, 2003. It is day 208 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Old Donnie Rumsfeld went over himself to look around. It's the third time he's been in Iraq? He was there twice when Saddam was in power. Back in 87, as I recall. Maybe he's been there since then. Maybe this is his second visit or his third visit, even since he's become defense secretary. But he's back on familiar ground. Anyhow, day 208 of the search for weapons of mass destruction. Maybe he'll find some. But I'm not holding my breath. Day 724 in the search for that man, as Carol Moseley Brown said last night in the debates. She was, by the way, wasn't she brilliant? I thought she was one of the bright stars of that debate. It was so articulate, so spot on. There is some tremendous talent in the Democratic Party. There is some tremendous talent. Anyhow, as she said, we've kind of forgotten. She said, Osama bin forgotten. And day 724 in the search, wanted dead or alive for Osama bin Laden. Just incredible. Today is September 5th, and on 1774 on this day, the first president of what became the United States of America was installed. Do you know his name? Peyton Randolph. He was the first president of the Continental Congress, which convened on this day in 1774. Now, this was before the Declaration of Independence, but they issued their own Declaration of Independence. And it was a declaration, actually, of rights and grievances, is what they called it. And what prompted this was the Tea Act of 1773. In fact, let me just read you a little piece from the History Channel. Most colonists continued to quietly accept British rule until Parliament's enactment of the Tea Act in 1773. This was the notorious no taxation without representation thing. Most people think that what this was an increase in the tax on tea. It wasn't. As you'll, those of you who've read my book, Unequal Protection, there's a whole chapter devoted to this where we've got all the original commentaries and pamphlets and people ranting about this stuff. What happened in 1773 was that the British dropped the tax on tea. It was an Enron-style tax rebate. You know how Enron only paid taxes in one out of the last 5 years? It was an Enron-style tax rebate that was going to allow the East India Company to pull a Walmart and put out of business tens of thousands of small tea entrepreneurs up and down the East Coast by coming in and just wiping them out with lower prices. And that was what led to the creation of the United States. As they said, and again, the History Channel, the low tax allowed the East India Company to undercut even tea smuggled into America by Dutch traders, and many colonists viewed the act as another example of taxation tyranny. In response, militant patriots in Massachusetts organized the Boston Tea Party, and on it goes. This was a tax cut that the Americans were so outraged over that they started the United States of America. Anyhow, we're going to get into the debates here. I want to get into the discussion of this. And before we start, we've got Phil in Florida. He's called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, with a thought on the topic. Phil, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Hi. Always great to listen.
Thank you.
I can't say that so much for the show that precedes you.
Well, you know, Doug is waking up in his old age.
Yeah,
he's getting better. He's got Nancy there keeping him straight.
Yeah, but I couldn't listen today.
Yeah.
Here's the situation.
Actually, I guess it depends on what station you're listening to. I was assuming that you were listening to the network. But anyhow, as you were...
Right. You know, the debate last night excluded one very important issue, and that is unemployment's not getting better. As the figures have come out, it's getting worse. And you've got people who are sitting back watching that show whose unemployment extension has run out.
Hey, Phil?
Yeah.
Can you start over again? We're having we just had a hiccup in the telephone line between my studio here in Vermont and the one in Detroit. And in fact, if this has happened twice now since we've been on for the last 15 minutes, if it happens again, I may have to call in and do the show on the telephone.
Right.
But if you could just repeat what you were saying, because I didn't hear it.
Okay. There was one thing that was missing from the debate, the issue of unemployment and the people who are suffering. You got congressmen who apparently are taking a pay increase. They're not making enough money. They need more. Okay? yet you've got millions of Americans whose unemployment benefits have run out. Their extensions have run out. Not one of those talking heads said, you know something? We need to put out another extension right away to help save the people who are floundering in this Bush depression. Not one of them brought up that issue. And that's because they all make, they all are upper 1% income earners, every one of those people. And I don't think they relate to the average guy yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Howard Dean is. His wife is a physician, and they just did the releases on their finances. And I think she made $130,000 last year, and I don't think he made much at all.
Well, I tell you something. I would guess that a lot of people listening would take a $100,000 job in a heartbeat.
Sure.
In fact, a lot of them would take a $50,000 job in a heartbeat.
I think a lot of them would take a $20,000 a year job in a heartbeat.
Exactly. Yet not one said, they're going through this big thing because they want a job. They want the job.
No,
the
I was responding to your comment about the 1%, Phil, which would, to be in the top 1%, you have to make over $335,000 a year.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say they're in the upper 8%.
Yeah, they're in the upper 2 or 3%.
Okay. But the point is that not one person addressed the people out there who are suffering from this Bush depression.
Yeah.
And that was very, very disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Not one said, I'll tell you what, I don't care about the other guys, but I'm calling for an immediate extension for unemployment benefits, because I read the figures like everybody else did, and these people are hurting, they're losing their homes, their cars, etc. While the military is thinking how they can, spend $30 billion on some more tankers so we can conduct more wars.
Yeah. Phil, I honestly don't know if the failure to address that was a result of the debate format. I'm assuming that you, like I, watched the whole thing, right?
Well, the whole thing is this. No one was going to put a gun to their head for somebody to stand up and say, I want to talk about the people
every time they wandered off topic, what's his name, the guy who was the moderator, would interrupt them and bring them back on topic. I mean, it happened 3 times that I remember.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think they have to start relating to the everyday common person.
I agree.
And a lot of people are hurting big time.
Yeah, I agree. And I would add to that, and thank you, Phil, for your comment. I appreciate it. And I would add to that that the common everyday person, if we want to see somebody relating to them, it's not going to be coming out of the Republican Party. It is not going to be coming out of the Republican Party. It's going to be coming out of the Democrats. Just a few follow-ups here, a couple of email follow-ups from previous shows, and then we're going to get right into this. Do you remember a few weeks before the 2002 elections, Jamel writes in the email, by the way, instead of sending me emails, a lot of you send me emails, and I can't read them until after the show, and if you've got something interesting to say, very often there's not enough time to read it. Much better just to go to the message board. I read that, too, and post them there, and other people can comment on them. There can be a discussion, and thousands of people will see them. We have an average of around somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 people a day who visit the message boards. So just go to tomhartman.com and click through to the message board, and you can post a message there. Anyhow, Jamel says, do you remember how a few weeks before the 2002 elections, it was reported on one of those political websites that the Republicans were, quote, giddy, end quote, about the upcoming election, and were even planning their takeover of the Congress, but the polls were not in their favor. I knew then, Jamel says, they were going to steal the elections. And Orrin Hatch is apparently this fellow's representative. He says, I called his office. I let him know that we're aware of the stolen elections, and we all need to call these thieves and let them know we're watching, and we will be fighting to have them prosecuted. And strong words there from Jamel, but I think that it is important. I have called the people involved in the election process here in Vermont and said, do you know about these machines? Do you know about the threat that they reach? And also yesterday I mentioned the quote from one of the presidents of one of the voting machine companies. I didn't realize it was Wally O'Dell, the CEO of Diebold. He said, Nathan emailed me this, he said, and I quote, I am committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to the president next year, end quote. And he's the president of the company whose machines are going to count many of the votes in Ohio. It has to have a lot of people scratching their head. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. We've got Sean in St. Louis. Sean, we'll pick your call up right after the break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're going to get into these debates and what these folks said in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
It's new. It's a new choice. And it's here now. It's new Levitra. Levitra Vardenafil HCL. And it's time to ask your doctor. Levitra. It's new. It's news. And it's available by prescription only. So find out about Levitra. Call 1-866-LEVITRA. Visit Levitra.com or talk to your doctor about the new choice. New Levitra. Call 1-866-LEVITRA.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens, Good Day, from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time. Followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7. Followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Turn the world into one big Texas. Turn the world into one big Texas.
Is he turning the world into one big Texas? Yeah, actually, he is. And it's a disaster for democracy. It's a disaster for America. As Dick Gephardt said last night,
incomprehensible that we would wind up in this situation without a plan and without international cooperation to get this done. This president doesn't get it. He's a unilateralist. He thinks he knows all the answers. He doesn't respect others. This president has to lead, and he is not leading. He's a miserable failure on this issue, and he must be replaced in the election.
Oh, man. Dick Gephardt in the presidential debates last night. Sean in St. Louis has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Sean, what did you think of the debate?
Well, I didn't get to catch the debate. But I caught snippets of it, basically. I wanted to respond to Phil, who just called in.
Sure.
He was talking about how they didn't really address any of the suffering that's going on in the country right now. Oh, yeah. You know, I can understand his point there. But the thing that I think Phil needs to think about is none of these guys, none of these candidates have any chance of taking power in the next, until, like, you know, for the next 18 months. So they can't get out there and say, hey, we need an extension to the unemployment insurance right now. They have no power. They have no ability to make that happen. But I honestly think that Dean did address some of the issues that are causing some of the misery in what I saw from what he was saying about losing jobs and whatnot.
Yeah, that's a good point, although I think probably Phil, were he on the line, would say still they could be talking about this. I mean, just because you can't fix something right now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be raising the issue.
True. I also have a question. Was it your show yesterday that I heard, I can't even remember who, but somebody just tearing Alan Greenspan a new corn shoot?
Yeah, it was my show, and that was Bernie Sanders.
Oh, God, that was beautiful. I love that, man. Who is Bernie Sanders now?
Bernie Sanders is my congressman here in the People's Republic of Vermont. He's the only congressman in the United States House of Representatives who is an independent, and he's brilliant.
Outstanding, yeah. I wish my home state of Minnesota still had someone like Paul Wellstone or someone like Bernie to go out there and speak up like that. That was absolutely brilliant. Is there any way I can get a transcript of that or a recording of that?
I'm not sure where we got that, Sean. I'd have to ask if I can. If I find out, I've had that thing sitting on my computer for several weeks. I think I might have gotten it off of C-SPAN, but I'm not really sure. You might want to do a Google search and see. It was out there on the web someplace, but it was Bernie Sanders and Alan Greenspan back the last time Greenspan testified before Congress, which was maybe 3 months ago.
Okay.
And Bernie's got a piece, by the way, on the front page of commondreams.org yesterday or the day before that basically restates all those same identical points.
Okay, great.
It was one of the things that got me back into that. So, Sean, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I appreciate your comment, and that's where you can track it. Now, by the way, I have a piece on the front page of commondreams.org today. And we're going to get into the topic of that if we have time here as the day goes on. But I really do want to hang out here with these presidential debates for a while. We have Jim driving through Indiana on the line. But, Jim, we've got a break coming up in just a half a second. So let me just share a little bit more of last night's debate with you. Some comments here.
The president goes around the country speaking Spanish. The only Spanish he speaks when it comes to jobs is hasta la vista.
That being John Edwards from the debate last night. Here's Howard Dean.
We ought not to be in the business of having free and open borders with countries that don't have the same environmental, labor, and human rights standards. And if you do that, we're going to be able to create manufacturing jobs in America again, and they'll stay in America.
Now, when Howard Dean said that, Joe Lieberman went after him and said, you know, how dare he, and this is going to cause the Dean depression and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, I mean, he just went into a full-blown rant. And then, and that part gets reported. In fact, I've got the clip here for you. But then Dean pointed out to Lieberman that he had been misquoted in the Washington News, Washington Times or Washington Press. And Lieberman retracted it. But that doesn't get shown on the press. Anyway, this is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
The UN-sponsored International Labor Organization released a report today ranking workers around the world by productivity. The United States is number one, where the average worker provided $60,728 worth of labor to the national economy last year, averaging $32 of output per hour. But Americans rank first because they spend more time at work than anyone else, while workers in countries like Belgium, France, and Norway work fewer hours per year. Workers in all three countries have a higher average output per hour than their American counterparts. And although American workers provided more than $60,000 worth of labor last year, the average U.S. yearly income is $56,000.
You must stand up and go back to the sidewalks. You are subject to arrest.
Civil disobedience at Yale University. 83 striking workers were arrested on Friday for blocking New Haven traffic just as Yale's freshman class arrived on campus. All were released on bond and will face disorderly conduct charges in court next week. John Wilhelm is president of the Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees International Union. He says he joined Friday's civil disobedience because talks haven't yielded much progress of late.
For example, they repackaged their pension proposal without any improvement either in what Yale would put into the pension plan or what the retirees would get out of it.
Strikes are a way of life for Yale workers. 8 of their last 10 contracts were won only after employees withdrew their labor.
Celebration among 850 workers held in slavery at a coffee plantation in Brazil. It's the largest raid of its kind for the Brazilian government, who began cracking down on slavery practices on ranches and farms earlier this year. So far, more than 2,000 people have been set free.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network. The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. What happened last night with the Democratic presidential debates? Is this the beginning of the end for George W. Bush and the cons right across the country who have seized control of the Republican Party, kicked out the old classic moderates like Nelson Rockefeller, and have wreaked havoc on this nation with this bizarre, failed ideology of devouring, destructive devouring of the middle class, this disgraceful process that is endangering the future of the United States, that threatens our children, not just subtly,
We're handing them a $100,000 bill that they're going to have to pay in the form of the national debt, every single one of them. Actually, if it's just the children, it's a whole lot more than that. Is this the end of the road? We'll see. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim, driving through Indiana, is on the line. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, hello. I have a real serious suggestion for any of these candidates that were unfortunate enough to vote for war.
Yeah.
They're doing this little tap dance and all that. I have a real significant, serious suggestion for them. Kerry is my best example here. When they talk about how he voted for the war, this is his chance to stand up and say, I was lied to.
Yeah.
Bush lied
well,
to us.
This is Kerry essentially has already tried to say that, Jim, and he got blasted for it.
It's like opening the door and saying, this is your chance to say it. And it would turn a negative into a positive. I really think so.
Yeah. Kerry, a couple of days ago, Kerry said, I voted to authorize the threat of force.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday on Crossfire, Bob Novak is waving around the document going, this doesn't say threat, this says force. And, you know, I mean, Kerry has tried to take that position, and the cons are just shoving it right down his throat.
This is his chance to use to say that.
Yeah.
I think they should all only campaign against Bush.
Well, mostly that's what they're doing.
And we'll take the candidate that's the best opposition to Bush. I don't want to hear them. You know, they're within degrees of each other and everything else. They should concentrate on who can take it to Bush best. That'd be the campaign. Now,
yeah.
As far as the other things in the debate, so the most interesting thing I heard there was Senator Brown from Illinois, former senator. She became the first politician or public official that I've heard to acknowledge and address the fact that the U.S. troops in Iraq have been shorted on the most vital supplies, like water,
yeah.
food, clothes. She said that. She said that the troops have been shorted or are rationing things like water. But no one did or has yet to ask why. You know, this thing
we've talked about it on this program. The why is because
right.
Halliburton and the other corporations don't,
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
They're not fulfilling their contracts.
When are they going to cross over the line there and start getting into this stuff? When are they going to get into this? You know, the Cheney-Rumsfeld corporatization of the military supply line. Halliburton.
Yeah.
When is somebody going to say this? We know about this.
Well, it is starting. It is starting, Jim. It is starting. And hopefully it's going to increase. I mean, today in the Wall Street Journal, of all places, there was a whole article about how George W. Bush has presided over the largest expansion in the size of government in the history of the United States. It's not the same topic, but it's like they're starting to nip at the heels of these guys.
You keep teasing us by saying there's blood in the water and all this stuff. Well,
there
I'm
is.
Waiting. Here's an example here. When is somebody going to step out? Because I listen to Sirius satellite radio, and I listened to the debates on C-SPAN last night, C-SPAN radio, and it just blew me away when I heard her talk about how the troops are being rationed water. And have you heard anyone official or any politician ever acknowledge that fact before?
No, I haven't, frankly.
This was it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of neat. It's like listening to C-SPAN and hearing people talk about the hearings in the Senate Judiciary Committee about trying to get prior. Now, I kept hearing about RAGA. You know, the Republican Attorney General's Association or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Malloy's been on this. But it's one thing to hear this from one side and just keep hearing it from one side, and then you listen to C-SPAN radio, and then you're talking about hearings, and then there's Kennedy turns around and says something about RAGA, and it's like, Eureka.
Oh, yeah.
This is it.
Yeah, you know, this is, Jim, this is the way it starts. I mean, this is the way that even the Clinton impeachment started was the, you know, Larry Klayman did his Judicial Watch investigation lawsuit around Paula Jones, and it showed up in a few tabloid papers, and a bunch of right-wing extremist talk show hosts started talking about it, and eventually it made its way out there. So here we are, the radical middle, talking about these issues, and they are going to make them out
there.
Well,
the Republicans try this malarkey here about, no Catholic need apply. They kept putting out this crap about how, well, it's because of his religion. Of course, say that to Kennedy, because Kennedy is a Catholic, too.
Yeah.
But listening to C-SPAN and then hearing Kennedy and a lady who was also on that committee, didn't catch her name, but they're talking about RAGA, and it's just like a light bulb goes on saying, finally, I'm hearing, like, confirmation. I don't know how many people are sitting here listening to this. You know, it's probably about 10 of us. Yeah. But it's just great to hear
it's
this
Eureka.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, it's
and,
Eureka.
You know, I can listen to IE America and hear these things, but it was nice hearing the former Illinois senator on during the debate. I don't know how many people were listening to that either, but hearing her mention how the U.S. troops in Iraq are being screwed by, well, they didn't say who by. They just
by,
you know,
our military contractors. Jim, thank you very much. I appreciate the call, and I'm right there with you. And we need to share more of that. Let's get one little more clip here. We got a couple more calls to get to.
Being flown to an aircraft carrier,
John
and
Kerry,
pronouncing the words "mission accomplished" does not end a war, and the swagger of a president who says "bring them on" does not bring our troops peace or safety. He told us, and Colin Powell told us, they would go to the UN and build a coalition. The president didn't do it. He failed in his diplomacy. He rushed a war against our warnings, and he has now inherited the winds.
John Kerry, misparaphrasing the reap the wind and sow the whirlwind from, as I recall, Ecclesiastes. Jim, that's what he's doing. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Pablo in Santa Fe, New Mexico, is on the line. Pablo, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I was wondering, how long do I have?
What do you need?
Well, basically, I was at the debate myself, and I have some pretty firsthand observations, and I just have 30 seconds, I'd rather wait.
No, we're not up against a break, if that's the point, Pablo.
Okay, yeah.
On the other hand, if you've got something long you want to read, I will cut you off.
Yeah, I was there at the debate, and just a quick rundown, the most impressive, I'm a Dean supporter, but the most mm-hmm. impressive was Gephardt. Then
yeah,
probably
he was good, wasn't he?
Carol Moseley Braun, she was great.
Yeah.
Kerry, I was impressed with, as well as John Edwards. Kucinich made some very good points. My views actually probably are closer to Kucinich's than anyone. But he did this thing where he was going after Dean a little bit and something about Vermont doesn't have a military.
Here, let me just play that for you, Pablo. Hold that thought for just a second. Here he is.
Talk about balancing the budget in Vermont, but Vermont doesn't have a military. And if you're not going to cut the military and you're talking about balancing the budget, then what are you going to do about social spending? Hello?
Yeah. That little bit of sarcasm there. I just cringed.
That hello thing does not sound presidential. It sounds like, you know, that's teenager lingo or whatever to some degree. And that's my problem with Kucinich is I agree with his views, but he doesn't come across as presidential, you know, at certain times, and just, you know, he doesn't have a snowball chance in hell in getting the nomination, basically. But I tend to agree with his views more than anyone. But anyway, to keep on going, Edwards I thought was impressive, and Lieberman disqualified himself, basically. He got booed when he made that comment about the Dean Depression. There was a low murmur. I don't know if you could hear it, but basically he was booed.
Just hang on just a second, Pablo. Let me just share this part with our listeners. I think this is that particular clip. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not the clip. This is it right here. Howard Dean had said that he felt that if we're going to trade with other countries, they should be held to certain standards of labor and environment. And what he was referring to was the International Labor Organization, the ILO, which are relatively low standards compared to American standards. Lieberman took a quote of his from the Washington Post out of context, accused him of saying that we should only trade with companies that pay the same amount as American companies, suggested that that would wipe out American industry. And it wouldn't, by the way, and I want to go on a whole rant about that here when we finish this stuff, because so many people don't understand how the economics of this works. But anyhow, here's what Lieberman said.
He would not have bilateral trade agreements with any country that did not observe fully American standards.
No, not
now.
Not
now
the
that
case.
Would mean we'd break our trade agreements with Mexico, with Latin America, with most of the rest of the world. That would cost us millions of jobs. So if that ever happened, I'd say that the Bush recession would be followed by the Dean Depression.
And I think that's what you're talking about, Pablo. And here was Howard Dean's response in some small part to that.
We are going to repeal the Bush tax cuts. You can't pay for health insurance if you have those tax cuts, including the tax cuts for middle-class people. Most middle-class people never got a tax cut from George Bush, and I'm sure they'd rather have health insurance for everybody than the $100 they got.
I'm sorry. I thought that was the Dean clip. Let me see if this is it just real quickly here.
We ought not to be in the business of having free and open borders with countries that don't have the same environmental, labor, and human rights standards. And if you do that, we're going to be able to create manufacturing jobs in America again, and they'll stay in America.
Yeah, and he didn't mean the same as the United States. He meant the same right across the board. Pablo, you were speaking. I interrupted you.
Lieberman, I think the crowd had the most. He was the most disappointing, but not surprisingly so, I guess.
Yeah.
And Dean basically did not seem well prepared. He seemed flat. And I think he's been suffering from over-campaigning. He's been going to all sorts of fundraisers in New Mexico's and events, and my sense was he didn't
Who is this?
Rest up or prepare, something like that.
Who are you referring to?
Howard Dean.
Howard Dean, yeah. Well, it struck me that he had been over-prepped. He got the first question, and it seemed to me that he kind of fell back into a strategy of reciting part of a campaign speech or something. And he's so good when he's just himself. You know, if you've ever seen him just do one-on-one interviews.
Yeah, afterward at the after-debate get-together at the Dean room, he was very relaxed, and he brought up some things about how he actually agrees with the Greens on some issues as far as the WTO and things like that. Very interesting things, which he, you know, in the debate he didn't say at all. So
yeah.
He is an open-minded person. I don't agree with him on everything, but I think he's the best bet we have at this point in time.
Yeah, well said. Pablo, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Tim in Hartford, Connecticut is on the line. Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What did you think last night? Were any of them close to your green sentiments?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to... Now, Tom, if you can put on your best, I'm not a Dean supporter person at...
Sure.
Is Dean trying to have it both ways? Now, what is his stance on NAFTA and GATT again?
Well,
I seem to keep flip-flopping around here. I'm trying to pin it down as to what he held in the past and what he holds now.
Yeah. As to what he held in the past, I honestly don't know. All the years that he was governor of Vermont, I never heard him discuss the topic. He probably did, but I can't say that I was listening.
That's very interesting. I would think Vermont would have a major trading bloc partner with Canada.
Oh,
you're saying he didn't, you know, make a big deal about that?
No, I'm telling you my recollection,
okay.
Not necessarily what's real. And my recollection was, I don't have any recollection of Howard Dean getting out there working for NAFTA or working against NAFTA. And, Vermont has probably in some ways been a beneficiary of NAFTA. But, you know, I just don't know. I'm sure that there's somebody out there. There are people out there both in the pro-Dean and anti-Dean camps who are digging this stuff up as we speak. But in direct answer to your question, I think that what he was saying last night, and I'm trying to say this not as somebody who thinks that, you know, Dean is the great guy, because
uh-huh.
as I have said, there are some areas where I disagree with him. I just think that he's I think he's the most electable of the ones who I agree with. But in any case, taking Lieberman out of the equation.
The standards that we should have, you know, am I being some sort of idealistic, you know, person that we shouldn't try to bring Mexico and Canada up to our standards? I mean, that's not a lofty goal that a president should try to bring about. I mean, I hear a lot of backpedaling amongst, you know, people like Lieberman, who, you know, was all for NAFTA and GATT. And then I hear a caller just saying he agrees, you know, against the WTO. But then I also heard, you know, he wouldn't have signed the Kyoto Agreement. He would have, you know, done different things with that. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, is this person, which a lot of us have suspected, trying to have it, you know, have a foot in every single camp and not definitively stand for, you know, I'm against NAFTA and GATT, I'm for the Kyoto Agreement, I'm this and that. I mean, even the war position, he was for the Afghanistan invasion and for the first Gulf War, but he was against this one.
Yeah, this is the problem, Tim, that people...
It seems to be a lot of, you know, I can, you know, play to both sides of the crowd and eventually get the nomination, and then I'll tell you after I've got the nomination where I really stand.
No, I don't think that that's the case at all. This is the problem that people have with Howard Dean, who want him to fit into a nice little box. It was one of the problems that both the progressives and the Democrats and the Republicans had with him when he was governor of Vermont, and that is that on pretty much every issue, he'll sit down and look at the issue and look at the details of the issue and say, what's going to be the most useful and pragmatic thing here? What I heard him say last night, and again, I may be engaging in wishful thinking or not, I don't know, but I think that this is what I heard him say, was that he wouldn't repeal NAFTA and GATT immediately, which disappointed me when I heard him say that. Mm-hmm. And then I heard him say that he would then go in and require that under the NAFTA and GATT agreements that they be amended so that other countries that we're trading with comply with ILO standards for environment and labor. Well, that, in effect, would eliminate NAFTA and GATT, or it would turn them into something unrecognizable. So, you know, is he trying to have it both ways? Yeah, maybe. And is that maybe the best way to have it happen and work? Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't think, frankly, that he's playing politics with this. I think he's really trying to do the right thing. But time will tell. Tim, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So, what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
You know, you ought to check your credit report.
But I just don't have time.
I have to clean out the garage.
And take the kids to the doctor.
And balance my checkbook.
And take the dog to the vet.
And mow the lawn.
And do the grocery shopping. And call the bank.
Stop. If you haven't checked your credit report, there's a fast, easy solution. Log on to freecreditreport.com and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. And get 30 days of our credit check monitoring service free. So don't say,
I'm just too busy.
Log on to freecreditreport.com today.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
That's
Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over the side of the road to speak with you. I read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Alexis de Tocqueville back in 1836 said, America is great because she is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. The current administration has abandoned any pretense of compassion. Did you see in the newspaper yesterday where they're slashing the funding for the AIDS work in Africa back to Clinton-era levels? Because they don't have the bureaucracy in place yet, and besides that, we can't afford it because we had to give tax cuts to the rich. Africa was a photo op for George Bush, not a true commitment. How unfortunate. Perhaps it'll change. The Democrats were debating last night, and we are discussing it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And John in Long Beach. John, thank you for patiently waiting on hold. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, John.
Well, being the paranoid pessimist that I am,
okay,
I don't think that we can wait to 2004 to get rid of these criminals extraordinaire. These people make the mafia look like petty criminals, and they have got so much corruption involved that if we wait to the election, they're going to take it too. I mean,
Do you think it's time to impeach them or to expose their? We're going to be doing a show on Monday, by the way, I believe, on the crimes of the Bush administration. You think it's time to impeach them?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't. It's been a long time. I mean, we should have done it a long time ago. I don't know how. You know what I'm talking about. You see what's happening.
I think it's a terrible situation, but with the Republicans in control of the House and Senate, there's no way that there's going to be an investigation of the Bush crimes. There's no way that there's going to be any kind of an impeachment possibility. The independent prosecutor law has expired. It would take a Democratic majority to do it, and that's not going to happen until 2004.
John,
the music means we're out of time. You've got a couple quick seconds here to make a final point.
I didn't watch the debates, but I don't care about political rhetoric anyway.
Yeah. Okay. John, thanks for the call and thanks for your comment. I think the political rhetoric is important. I think we need to be paying attention to these things. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From those ads, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. President Bush says he will be requesting additional funding from Congress for reconstruction efforts in Iraq. He says the price of fighting terror won't come cheaply. But also, while in Kansas City yesterday, the president said he's still uncertain about just how much money he's going to ask for.
I have not yet decided on a number. The way I do business, or the way I run the administration, is I say to those who are responsible for the actions in the field, what does it take to get the job done? How much money will it require?
Some reports are indicating the Bush administration could be requesting anywhere from $50 to $80 billion more for reconstruction of post-war Iraq. The president says, quote, we need to put the money up in order to win this war, in order to make sure America is more secure. France and Germany both still say they're opposed to a possible U.S.-sponsored U.N. resolution to create an international coalition to help rebuild Iraq. Still, British Prime Minister Tony Blair, at least, is sounding still upbeat about the prospect of a broader coalition in Iraq.
It's important that we work with everyone, those that were opposed to the war, those that were in favor of it, because everyone's got the same interest now, which is a stable and prosperous Iraq. And whatever disagreements that there have been with France and Germany over the issue of the war, I can assure you they are absolutely committed to doing what they can to help Iraq succeed in the future.
French and German officials say the United Nations draft resolution still falls far short of quickly handing over power to Iraqis and doesn't give the UN a very significant role. Secretary of State Colin Powell opened up a speech at George Washington University yesterday by telling the audience, quote, we are not imperialists. Powell said President Bush's strategy strongly affirms the vital role of other nations in bringing peace and security around the globe. He added, free trade also figures prominently into the president's long-term vision. As for the Middle East as a whole, Powell said the Bush administration has not abandoned its efforts to broker a long-standing peace between the Israeli and Palestinian people.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... but on the inside, I'm all... just because I look like... doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
A federal judge is expected to rule today on a lawsuit to delay California's upcoming recall election until March. The suit says the October 7th election violates the Voting Rights Act by reducing polling locations, as well as cutting back on the number of bilingual poll workers. Recent allegations of rape and sexual assault at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs will be the topic of discussion of a Defense Department panel today. That meeting in Virginia will look at Air Force Academy policies, research of the allegations, as well as other elements of the investigation.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
The government of Hong Kong has now withdrawn a controversial anti-subversion bill, which had led to the largest mass protests in years. Chief Executive Tung Chi Hwa is now promising more public consultations before a new version of that bill is reintroduced. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
500,000 people took to the streets in a series of demonstrations in Hong Kong, angry at the anti-subversion bill. It's been constitutionally required by China since it regained sovereignty of Hong Kong in 1997. The bill's aimed at preventing subversion, theft of state secrets, and would prohibit foreign political groups from carrying out activities in Hong Kong. But those campaigning against the bill say it poses a direct threat to political, religious, and media freedoms. Two of the Hong Kong chief executive's key ministers have already stepped down over the controversy surrounding the bill, and Mr. Tung himself has faced calls to resign. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On her way to Oz, Dorothy feared lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no! But they're child's play compared to critters who might homestead in your car. Oh, yes! When I come back, I'll name names. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those, too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You think Noah had it rough managing all those beasts? At least he had an ark, but some of them might hole up in your car. According to Pennzoil's survey of 16,000 auto technicians, culprits for some repairs were furry, feathery, or scaly, like chickens trapped in air filters, squirrel nests in the AC, snakes wrapped around brake rotors, and rats storing dog food in exhaust pipes. But wait, don't call the Pied Piper. Have your vehicle checked out regularly by a qualified technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Written about in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Pravda. He spent time with the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And now you can talk with Tom Hartman simply by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Last night, the Democratic contenders for the presidential campaign candidacy were debating, and it was a fascinating time. There were a couple of issues that got brought up. One was this question that was put to one of the candidates. I forget which one, and I think it might have been Kerry. And I'm sure it was Kerry. And it amazed me that he didn't have an answer for it. And that was, if you want to raise people's wages, isn't that going to raise the cost of things at Walmart and Kmart? And he didn't know the answer to the question. We'll get to that in just a second. We've got a caller on the line here. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Bill in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Bill, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. I like your show.
Thank you, Bill.
I'd like to talk about universal health care.
Okay.
And for people who oppose it, I'd like to say that you don't want tuberculosis. We want people who have tuberculosis treated. I've read an article by a doctor who said that there's 16,000 varieties of tuberculosis now and that it's making a huge comeback and that having people treated, you know, keeps the whole population healthy and that it's a real good thing. And to get a progressive like Kucinich who's supporting this in office takes people out in the streets. You know, it's going to take more than just voting for him. And it's happening. I was there last night. He's drawing huge crowds, and that never makes the news, but he's a dynamite speaker, and I encourage everyone to go out and hear him, and that the presidential race is not about personalities. Hope we can get beyond, you know, a simple issue like that.
Yeah, but Bill, it's always about personalities. I mean, that's a piece of it. The United States doesn't have a separate head of state like the United Kingdom does, where they've got a queen who's the head of state and then they've got a prime minister who's the head of government. We have it rolled into one person. We need to elect somebody, and everybody. And I'm not saying that Dennis Kucinich isn't it. I just want to make, you know, this one point. I think it's an important one that our president is both our head of government and our head of state, and as our head of state has to be somebody who will comport himself or herself well around the world, and George Bush has completely failed in that regard, alienating the rest of the planet, acting like a bully and a Texas hick, you know, just swaggering. And I don't mean that as a slur on Texas. We have hicks in Vermont too, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And just you know, swaggering around the world, and all of these candidates. Are infinitely superior to George W. Bush, in my opinion, in terms of their gravitas, in terms of their ability to be competent representatives of the United States of America. And it is about personality at some level, and I didn't see any bad personalities there last night.
Yeah, well, one caller talked about Kucinich making a knock on Dean. And,
yeah.
You know,
that's
part of the debate, that, you know, they got a knock on each other.
Well, I think in a presidential debate, saying to somebody doesn't reflect well on you. But Howard Dean fumbled a few lines. John Kerry didn't know the answer to a question. I mean, none of these folks were perfect.
Yeah, Dean has said that he wouldn't cut the military budget, and that deletes him from my list of candidates right there. That he's not a progressive. And also, a friend had told me that. Kucinich can't be elected because he's not tall enough. And my response is, you know, only tall people should run for office. I mean, come on. He's average height. He's very intelligent, and he has a great program.
Yeah, and I think he's about the same height as Howard Dean.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dean
and somebody else told me that, well, his ears are too big. And, you know, I wish we could just get away from superficial issues like that and encourage everyone to vote with their heart and don't compromise until after the primaries.
Well, I agree. That was when we had the head of Kucinich's California campaign on the line. One of the first questions I asked her was one that somebody had sent me an email with a comment. It was a woman actually who sent me a comment. That sounds sexist. But anyway, this woman sent me a comment saying nobody's going to vote for Dennis Kucinich because he has hair in his face, and so I said that to her as one of the first things. I said, you know, what about the hair in his face? And I was expecting her to say, come on, let's get past this nonsense. It doesn't matter what his hair looks like. Instead, she said he's changing his hairstyle. So I think that, you know, even in the campaigns, they take this stuff seriously, for better or for worse. I mean, America is kind of star quality driven. Bill,
yeah,
thanks for the comment.
Yeah, that's the corporate media talking there.
Well, I think it's human nature talking, too. I mean, it's not the corporate media that brings us People magazine. It is, but I mean, the demand for it, if there wasn't a demand for gossip, it wouldn't exist. Gossip has been around as long as humans have been living in tribes. You know, this is just human nature, I think. But Bill, thanks for the call and thanks for the comment. I appreciate it. Good point, and we do need to move on from there. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Rama in Vermont, of the Val and Rama show, Rama, who has filled in for me on this program a few times, I'm assuming it's the same Rama, is on the line. Rama, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. And
hey, it is the same Rama. Welcome back.
I hope it is. I'm still basically the same.
Yeah, well, we got a Rama in Santa Fe who's called a couple of times, and so there's more than one of you out there.
Well, I know I hear that, and I get awful confused.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm listening or I'm talking.
Or is it a Hindu god?
Well, you know, one of the things, and I didn't listen. I listened to, like, the first two responses to the first question of their debate last night for the Democrats. And then I guess I kind of got bored and I went off to do other things. But I'm waiting to hear when these folks, and I think it's really grand that they come out and they say, this is what's wrong, this is what's needs to be fixed. And, you know, this whole approach is about the lies and the misleading and the horrible policies, the economic damage, the environmental damage, all of it's worthwhile mentioning over and over. But there has got to be a response to this that, well, what are you going to do instead? You know,
sure.
And this is what I hear missing from everybody so far, and I'm sure at some point they'll start coming
if you,
up.
If you're hearing a missing, Rama, you're not listening.
Well,
I'm hearing it's there. I mean, every single one of these people, as Carol Moseley Brown said last night, I believe, she said, every single person on this platform has a health care plan, for example. All of these candidates are very specific on the issues. What's happening is that they're not being well reported.
Well, I try to listen, but I never hear that, and maybe I just listen at the wrong times. But I'll give you the one thing that really sticks out in my mind is their responses about Iraq. And it's always, it's never like, well, we have to take a really different path in Iraq. It's always, well, we've got to stay there. We've got to put money in there, and we've got to also bring in the UN, and we've got to bring in other troops from around the world. You never hear somebody offering an alternative which says that, well, no, we need to turn Iraq over to Iraqis.
Well, that's what Howard Dean said. He said we need to get the American soldiers out of Iraq and get them out right now. In fact, I think that this is a little piece of that clip.
Not a tax cut from George Bush, and I'm sure they'd rather have health insurance for everybody than the $100 they got.
I had to dig through to find it, but anyhow, I've got it in here someplace. He said, you know, let's bring them home. And what's his name? Because Sinage had the best thing to say. He said, no more sweetheart deals for Halliburton, and let's share the oil revenue. This is really the piece that I wrote that's on Common Dreams today. If you go to commondreams.org, is that nobody is talking about the fact that what's going on in Iraq right now is nationalism and oil, and the nationalism is the Iraqi people wanting Iraq back, and you know, let's kick out the infidels, and the oil is, whenever George Bush talks about we want to maintain American control, what he's written, this is code language for we want to continue to control the oil, control the money from the oil, and transfer a large chunk of that money from that oil to Halliburton and Bechtel and other corporations that make huge contributions to the Republican Party. Pardon me, Rama, for interrupting you.
No, that's okay. And actually, I agree with what you said, and I did read your piece on Common Dreams. It was a good piece.
Thank you.
I think, though, for instance, you bring up Howard Dean. Now, that's one of the answers I heard. It was like, I think, one of the first questions asked, and it was pretty much after that I turned it off. Dean approaches this whole thing with Iraq so tentatively that he's just now coming up with an idea of what he does or doesn't want to do there, which is okay, and I don't fault him for that. I mean, you know, it takes a while to come up with some good answers.
Well, not only that, the situation has been changing as time goes on, but nonetheless, okay, your point.
I'll go back and I'll just say, and I pay attention to these people, and I listen to when they say, I haven't heard anybody sitting down and saying, this is precisely what I would have done instead. This is what I would do instead. When you put me in office, this is going to be the first thing I'm going to do to take a step. They say we need the health insurance, but what kind of plan are they going to come up with? Is it going to be a Clinton-esque plan, which I totally objected to, or is it going to be some better plan?
Yeah.
You know, I think Howard Dean could push a really good issue with that because he wants to insure young and old. You know, so I don't know. It's just what I'm hearing and what I'm not hearing, Tom.
Yeah, well, Rama, I encourage you to contact the individual campaigns and ask them for their position papers or check out their websites, because their position papers are there, and these people are taking specific positions on these issues. Although the conservative press will not tell you that, and the corporate media doesn't have the attention span or the interest, I don't frankly think it's a huge conspiracy to dig into the details. And frankly, most of the American people aren't engaged at this point. I mean, most people don't really care. There's this winnowing process that's going to go on. But I can guarantee you none of those people on that platform last night, or Al Sharpton, who I thought it was a shame he wasn't there, because I think he's one of the more articulate voices in the Democratic Party. You know, it's unfortunate that the latent racism in America is working strongly against him, and that his involvement in the whole Tawana Brawley thing is just, you know, it's going to haunt him forever. But, you know, he couldn't make it because of weather, but he has good things to say. But anyhow, I encourage you to check out their comments, Rahman. Thanks for the call. I appreciate your calling in. One of the things that was said in the debate, and Louise recalls it as being directed to Kucinich. I recall it as being directed to Kerry. I'd have to go back and read the transcript, which I don't have right here in front of me, was the question of, okay, you're all in favor of labor standards. So this came up in the debate about labor standards. And if we were to say we're only going to trade with countries that subscribe to, the, say, the ILO, the International Labor Organization standards, which are not as, I mean, they don't, it's not the minimum wage of $5.15 an hour, but it's more than 20 cents an hour or 10 cents an hour. It's more than slave labor. So all of those products that you can buy at Walmart that are made in China, many of them, perhaps even most of them, you couldn't buy anymore because they're made with labor that doesn't conform to ILO standards. And therefore, you know, how do you answer people who are saying you want to raise our prices at Walmart? I mean, it's a huge issue in the Midwest. Well, the answer is very simple. In a T-shirt, for example, you've got about 10 cents worth of labor in a $10 T-shirt. If that T-shirt was made by somebody making $10 an hour, you'd have less than 20 cents or 25 cents worth of labor in it. So, yeah, the price of everything at Walmart might go up. It might go up 15, 20 cents on every $10. It might go up a penny and a half on every dollar. But you would have a living wage. You'd be able to make a living. You'd be able to put your kids through school and pay for your retirement. I think it's a good trade-off. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello. Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Oh, good. John Poindexter is gone. I hope that someone wrapped him gently in a warm blanket and took him away, far, far away, to some quiet place where professionals can soothe his raging right-wing demons and where he can do no more harm. Poindexter is the convicted felon from the Reagan White House who, for some bizarre reason, was brought back into play by the Bush-Cheney-Rumsfeld axis of imperial weirdness. He was given a Pentagon office, staff, lots of money, and, scariest of all, real power. In service to the Bushites, he became the maniacal Dr. Strangelove of the Pentagon. Poindexter was the Orwellian lunatic behind TIA, the Super Snooper Total Information Awareness computer program designed to compile detailed dossiers on all of us. More recently, his little shop of horrors produced PAM, the policy analysis market that would have created a federal betting parlor on terrorism. It was to be the Pentagon's own futures trading market, only instead of speculating on the future price of pork bellies, investors worldwide would have been able to gamble on the likelihood that, say, Israel's prime minister would be assassinated or that the Turkish parliament would be bombed. Luckily, public outrage has curtailed this guy's TIA program, shut down his PAM scam, and ultimately forced him to resign. So we can all have a good laugh and rest easy now, right? This is Jim Hightower saying, not so fast. Where were the higher-ups? His ideas were so jaw-droppingly stupid that some quasi-sane superior should have stepped in and said, "No, John, no." Yet Rumsfeld's Pentagon, Bush's White House, and Congress all authorized millions of our tax dollars for his whacked-out schemes. Poindexter's gone, but the kookiness runs all the way to the top.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Response to Rama's question about what, you know, are these folks taking positions on the war? Here, I just found this one little quote. I just want to play it for you, and then we're going to move on from this.
We need more troops. They're going to be foreign troops, as they should have been in the first place, not American troops. Ours need to come home.
I think that's pretty explicit, pretty specific, and, you know, just right out there. Ours need to come home. Now, we've been hearing a lot of the drumbeat of war for a year now. This was George Bush's 2002. Those of you who have been reading my Common Dreams pieces will recall that back in early 2002, I wrote a piece called The Magic Trick of War, suggesting that sometime before the election cycle of 2002, George Bush would pull the threat of war out of the hat and divert everybody's attention away from his failures and the fact that Cheney had been indicted on a crime, or was they were investigating whether or not to indict Cheney on criminal charges. Bush's Harkin energy insider trading was coming out. All this stuff was coming out, and boom, all of a sudden, in August and September of 2002, he starts talking about the need to invade Iraq. And boom, you've got all these anti-war protests, and suddenly he has divided the nation and starts painting the Democrats as cowards. And here's what a former president of the United States had to say about the ginning up of war, to use a phrase that is in this piece that I wrote for Common Dreams this week.
The dangers of our being dragged into war are in three directions. First, foreign propaganda to inflame our emotions and to mold our minds to war.
First, to inflame our emotions and mold our minds. By the way, I wonder if you know who this is. I'll give you a clue. He was a Republican, and a Republican with whom George W. Bush is often compared.
Second, the preachments of our own mistaken officials and citizens, which in effect support these propagandas.
In other words, we've got there's this vast echo chamber being created to support this propaganda for war.
Third, steps taken by our government that while denying that they are intended to take us into war, yet entangle us with these very controversies, the end of which may be war.
Aha. In other words, our government starts taking steps that they say, no, this isn't going to lead us into war, but that's where we're going.
And here we can examine one of the methods of power politics.
Power politics.
That is propaganda.
Propaganda.
During the World War, propaganda was first developed into an actual weapon no less potent than the killing of men. When peoples and governments weigh the sacrifice of their sons, then truth and honesty and tolerance and justice are thrown to the winds if a lie will serve better.
They are thrown to the truth and tolerance and justice are thrown to the wind if a lie will serve better. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to President Herbert Hoover speaking about his opposition to the United States' involvement in the war in Europe, also known as World War II.
The Great War was the first time in history.
That was the first World War.
When all the powerful agencies of publicity and the manipulation of news were organized without moral restraint under the genius of skilled men.
And it's happened again.
They were built up a skill and a technique in front of which every citizen was helpless to know the truth. And since that time, the radio has become an additional weapon.
Do you think that maybe when they were putting together some of these con shows that they were listening to Herbert Hoover?
We ourselves, when we entered the war, imitated the others. We created great propaganda agencies. And no man dared to question our answer under that fierce, organized condemnation.
Yes.
Now, propaganda has three directions.
This is interesting.
Internal to mobilize emotions.
Internal.
External to influence neutral nations. And aggressive to influence the enemy.
Uh-huh. Three. Number one, scare the people in the country. Mobilize. Get your allies together and scare your potential opponent.
From the beginning of the World War, I saw the development of the propaganda directed at the United States from both sides. I was so impressed that I collected this material for years. The War Library at Stanford University holds stack after stack.
Yeah, and there it is, and there it stays. Herbert Hoover on the dangers of government using propaganda to start a war. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned, we're going to get back into this thing. Where did the neocons come from? Was it the communists?
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The demand for groundwater in parts of the United States is so high that it pushes the limits of the country's largest aquifer. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The Ogallala Aquifer is the largest single reserve of groundwater in North America. It's a giant wet layer of sand and rocks that spans 8 states from South Dakota to Texas. The aquifer is essential for irrigating farms across much of that region, but this sandy sponge has its limits. Jim Gakey is a research hydrogeologist at the University of Nebraska. He studies the Ogallala Aquifer, and he says people are still unsure about its exact volume. The last study of it showed that the water tables vary from place to place. It also found that pumping for irrigation could seriously deplete parts of the aquifer, and Nebraska is at risk.
We have areas of decline, but we also have areas where the water tables have come up. One of the things that the High Plains Ogallala study did was try and predict what would happen with continued levels of development into the future. And they basically made some projections from 1980 to the year 2020. And they were very, very dire.
Gakey says the groundwater situation in Nebraska right now is not too bad, but he says Texas is an example of how seriously the groundwater can run down. Its share of the Ogallala Aquifer has declined by 70% since the aquifer was first tapped more than 100 years ago. Gakey says part of that is due to high demand for water for farming. Texas has a long growing season, so people pump water for longer periods to grow crops. Gakey says more research is still needed to determine the actual limits of the Ogallala Aquifer. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Mm-hmm.
what's going on.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, if you're listening to this program, you know what's going on. Yes, indeed, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, revealing truth that the corporate media is afraid to discuss, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. One of the one of our listeners, Christopher in Tampa, posted an email to me. He says, I think it's important to point out to your listeners, we talked yesterday about gross domestic product, the last half hour of the program yesterday, and if you missed it, you might want to get the archive off whiterosesociety.org. You can download the whole thing and then just skip to the last half hour. We talked about GDP and had some really good stuff in there, I think, and which we will be revisiting. And Bernie Sanders raking Alan Greenspan over the coals. And Chris in Tampa says, I think it's important to point out to your listeners that gross domestic product is a terrible way to measure growth and prosperity. GDP is boosted by natural disaster, war, divorce, illness, or depletion and depletion of natural resources. How can GDP growth be good? What exactly does GDP measure? Certainly not happiness. And it reminded me of a quote from Robert Kennedy that appears in my book, Unequal Protection. Actually appeared first from Robert Kennedy at the University of Kansas in Lawrence on March 18, 1968. He said, too much and too long, we seem to have surrendered community excellence and community values in the mere accumulation of material things. Our gross national product, if we should judge America by that, counts air pollution and cigarette advertising and ambulances to clear our highways of carnage. It counts special locks for our doors and the jails for those who break them. It counts the destruction of our redwoods and the loss of our natural wonder in chaotic sprawl. It counts napalm and the cost of a nuclear warhead and armored cars for police who fight riots in our streets. It counts Whitman's rifle and Speck's knife and the television programs which glorify violence in order to sell toys to our children. Yet, Robert Kennedy said, the gross national product does not allow for the health of our children, the quality of their education, or the joy of their play. It does not include the beauty of our poetry or the strength of our marriages, the intelligence of our public debate or the integrity of our public officials. It measures neither our wit nor our courage, neither our wisdom nor our learning, neither our compassion nor our devotion to our country. It measures everything, in short, except that which makes life worthwhile. Robert F. Kennedy on what gross national product or gross domestic product, as it's referred to now, means and is all about. I think it's an important one to keep remembering. So the question, why do we have trade and what's this about? I want to come back to that. This is a large question. I want to get into this neocon thing because I've promised you this two or three times now. And here we see The Miami Herald, an article, the U.S. taxpayers may foot larger bill for new Iraq. American taxpayers may end up footing a much larger bill than they expect. Next year's reconstruction budget, and here's a quote from Paul Bremer. Right? No, it's not Paul Bremer. Who is it? It's a U.S. official. Quote, has inadequate funds for security, electrical, water, sewage, irrigation, housing, education, health, and welfare. Ah, says an internal document of the Coalitional Provisional Authority in Baghdad. In other words, we don't have in our budget right now the money for security, water, electricity, sewage, irrigation, housing, education, health, and agriculture in Iraq. We are, by the way, planning to provide all of Iraqis with the national health care policy. Free health care for all Iraqis. We're planning to provide all of the Iraqis with free education, including access to college. We're planning on providing all of the Iraqis with a good, sound, well-regulated national infrastructure of roads and electrical transmission lines and telephone systems. George Bush has become a liberal. But, you know, where did this start? Why are we doing this? Why this strange notion? Why go after this whole bunch? You know, this why the belligerent nationalism? Well, my suggestion is that the foundation of this, the grounding of this, is in what is referred to as the neoconservative movement. The basic concepts or the basic precepts of neoconservatism are that the U.S. should not be ashamed to use its superior military power to mold the world in its image, that modern threats to the U.S. can no longer be contained and therefore must be prevented through military preemption. This is the I'm afraid and so I'm going to be tough strategy. I'm telling you, the psychological underpinning of the conservatives and the neoconservatives is fear. And the reason why they bluster and do this whole, yeah, you guys are wimps, is because they're afraid, deep down in their souls. These are terrified people. And they think that the only way to have security and safety is by terrifying other people. And this, many would suggest, is a form of mental illness. The final basic concept of neoconservatism is that the U.S. is hampered by multilateral institutions. Now, where did these folks come from? The older intellectuals of the neocons started out as liberals in the 1960s, according to their own histories. Many of them were former Trotskyites. Trotskyites? People don't understand who Trotsky was and what he was all about. They don't understand, what was going on with Leon Trotsky. Here's Leon Trotsky in 1936.
A poem, false and facial, extorted by modern dictatorial methods in the interest of the ruling clique.
He's talking about these trials. They were built on false confessions in the interest of the ruling elite. The ruling elite. Now, wait a minute. This is Leon Trotsky in 1936. He's talking about Stalin and Lenin.
There are no crime in history more terrible in intention or execution than the Moscow trials of the Soviet communists and Radin.
No crime more terrible than that of the Moscow communists.
Katakov. His trials developed not from communism, not from socialism.
These trials did not develop from communism or socialism, Trotsky said. Keep in mind, Trotsky was one of the gurus of the neoconservative movement. He broke with the folks who took over the Communist Party.
Except from Stalinism.
But instead from Stalinism, he says. These trials, he ultimately was murdered in these trials. He was expelled and then murdered.
That is from the irresponsible despotism of the bureaucracy over the people.
This is from listen to this again. He's talking about the despotism.
That is from the irresponsible despotism of the
irresponsible despotism
bureaucracy over the people.
Of the bureaucracy over the people. Leon Trotsky in 1936. Now, you have to understand Trotsky to understand, what's going on with the neocon movement. Trotsky was Lenin's intellectual equivalent or equal. He and Lenin were like these great intellectuals in this movement. And after the Bolshevik Revolution, the Bolsheviks became the Communist Party. And very similar to the way James Madison ended, and not just Madison, most of the founders ended the American Revolution. And there were people who wanted to continue the American Revolution afterwards, and they actually got put down by George Washington, Shays' Rebellion and the Whiskey Rebellions, and on it went. Madison stopped our revolution from going farther. Similarly, the Communist Party stifled the Bolshevik Revolution by consolidating its power. See, for every revolution, there's always a counter-revolution that puts an end to it. Trade unions and corporations came under state control. This is a really important point. The communists took control of the trade unions. The fascists tried to destroy them. This is the only difference between the communists and the fascists, between the Stalinist communists. I should say the communists generally. The Stalinists and the Hitlerite fascists. They both saw that trade unions represented a terrible danger to them. Fascism always opposes organized labor. But their solutions were different. Hitler's solution was to ban labor unions, to make them illegal, to throw their members in jail, or any of their leaders, and ultimately to kill them. The communists instead simply took it over. They said, we are now the trade union. The effect was the same. The big difference between the communists, the Stalinist communists, and the Hitlerite fascists had to do with the use of corporations. The communists looking back at the writings of Karl Marx, many people mistakenly think Karl Marx was a Russian who was involved in the Bolshevik Revolution. So he was a German philosopher who lived in England in the 19th century. And Karl Marx suggested that the solution to all of the world's problems would be for the state to control the means of production. That is, for corporations, for businesses, to be owned by the state. So if you wanted to start a company to do something, you'd have to go to the state and ask them to do it and hope that they'd put you in charge. And, of course, we know now that that doesn't work. It's a mess. It turned into a disaster. It's been thoroughly discredited in its purest form, in its acted out over hundreds of millions of people form. In its purest form, in small communities, it does seem to work. You see kibbutz in Israel. You see tribal communities where the community owns the means of production. But once you get beyond about 150 people, it breaks down and doesn't work anymore. And that was the essential thing that Marx missed. So, anyhow, the big difference between the fascists and the communists is the fascists say corporations should have free rein. And we're going to have a partnership with them where government will serve their needs. Remember, the American Heritage Dictionary definition of fascism is, and I quote, a merger of state and business interests combined with belligerent nationalism, end quote. That's the entire definition. So the corporations in Germany got increasingly greater and greater and greater power because the government did everything through the corporations. It handed everything over to the corporations. You guys build the roads. You guys build the death chambers. You guys run many of the death camps, most of the death camps, most of the concentration camps, all of the concentration camps inside Germany, most of the death camps outside of Germany were corporate owned. And so, whereas in communism, they said there won't be any more corporations. The state is going to own the means of production. And so, anyhow, Lenin found out the hard way about Marx's prerequisite for a society to first gain an economy of abundance through a period of capitalism before being able to sustain socialism. Another concept that most people don't know about, that and what I consider to be another fatal flaw in Marxism that demonstrates that Marxist communism doesn't work in a community larger than 150 people. And that is that he said, basically, if you're going to spread around this abundance, you have to create it first. And the way to create it is with a capitalist society. And the problem was that at the time of the Bolshevik Revolution, Russia was basically this third world country. It was a feudal state. So they didn't have the abundance to spread around. The royal family had a lot of wealth, and there were a few, you know, nobles who had a lot of wealth, but it wasn't anywhere near enough to build a state on. So Lenin instituted this thing he called the New Economic Policy, NEP. But Trotsky was a populist. He was against the bureaucracy. He was against centralized control. He firmly believed in the workers and peasants controlling the government, that the new revolutionary elites would control the new Soviet Union. His little guy advocacy made him an internationalist. He compared to Stalin and Lenin, who said, you know, Russia for Russia or the Soviet Union for the Soviet Union, Trotsky thought that the proletariat has no national boundaries. He took a more, what he called, evolutionary stance on socialism. According to Marx and Engels, only advanced capitalist societies could progress to socialist societies. But Trotsky felt that Russia needed a more substantial stage of capitalism to create material wealth. And so, you know, he supported Lenin's NEP. And this earned him the hatred of Stalin. After Lenin died, Stalin seized power. He banished Trotsky and later had him murdered. Now, what does this have to do with the neocons? What does this have to do with these guys who devised our policy in Iraq? Well, here's how it works. Trotsky's murder made him a martyr and created Trotskyism, which became very popular in the 1950s and 1960s in the United States among intellectual circles, particularly on the left. These folks believed that Stalinism had betrayed the Bolshevik Revolution. They were either anti-communist or anti-Stalinist. There was this huge split that happened, largely because of the Vietnam War. And a lot of these Trotskyites in the 60s became disgusted with the 60s counterculture, broke off from the left, and they're the people who now call themselves the neocons, the neoconservatives. And their core beliefs were anti-communism and internationalism. And, you know, you just have to understand the ferment in which this came. I mean, remember the times. These are people who grew up remembering things like this little speech by Joe McCarthy.
Using not merely the communists, but the fellow travelers, the deluded liberals, the eggheads, and...
What? Hang on just a second. Now Ann Coulter's starting to make sense here, where she got her material.
The deluded liberals, the eggheads, and some of my good friends in both the Democrat and Republican Party, who can become heroes overnight in the eyes of the left-wing press if they will join with the jackal pack.
Senator Joseph McCarthy here.
Traitors are not gentlemen, my good friends. They don't understand being treated like gentlemen.
Traitors are not gentlemen, his idea. Anyone who disagreed with him was a traitor, and he bragged about the fact that of the many, many people, the hundreds of people who were dragged before his committee, only a very, very tiny number were ever demonstrated to be communists. Of all these people, they got punished.
All of them, after they appeared before the committee, were either fired or suspended. Let's run through the names.
Yeah, everyone to the name. And let's run through the names. And he goes through and he goes this list of the tragic victims of Joe McCarthy. So we have the intellectual roots of the Trotskyite. But the problem is that most of the neocons today don't even understand their own intellectual roots. They just have this kind of knee-jerk, paranoid, reactionary, if we've got to control everything. If we don't control it, it's going to come and get us. And then they look at the situation where we're importing millions of barrels of oil every day from the Middle East. We better control that. That's where. And so, you know, let's go over and kick a little Baghdad butt, to quote George Bush Sr. And here we are, this mess. Here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The following conversation is real. It took place on March 14th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Derek.
Hi, yeah, my name is Justine, and my car is locked, and my baby is inside.
Oh, my goodness, I'm sorry that had to happen to you today. Do you know your account number by any chance?
Is it? No, I don't.
Okay, how about a home phone number that may be listed on the account?
All right, 617.
With OnStar, if you lock your keys inside your car, an advisor can send a signal to unlock your doors, even if you're 1,000 miles away.
How old is the little one?
He's 8 months, and he's
okay.
Screaming and sweating up a storm.
Oh, my goodness.
I know he's okay, but it just kills you to see them.
I understand. All right, I am now sending a signal to unlock the vehicle.
Will I hear it?
Yes, you may hear it. Now, I'll also get a prompt here letting me know that unlock was successful.
OnStar is available on the Saturn View, Ion, and L series. To learn more, visit your Saturn retailer or Saturn.com.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and you have a wonderful day.
OnStar, always there, always ready.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Ban ji la is like cool. Yeah,
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Bringing this all back around, the neocon movement then led to Ronald Reagan and his approach to anti-communism and push for this whole internationalist thing. And it's really, in many ways, very much going back to its roots in what we used to call the Soviet Union. Like Stalin, the neocons, now just consider this list of Stalin's behaviors. They label anyone who doesn't agree with them as a traitor. These were the neocons and the communists. They promote a stronger, more pervasive police state. They want a single-party system. Grover Norquist and Newt Gingrich have both stated that they not only want to beat the Democratic Party, they want to eliminate it, creating a one-party state. They want to eliminate trade unions. They criticize bureaucracy while they make it larger in both government and in the corporate world. An interesting piece in today's Wall Street Journal about how under the George W. Bush administration, the number of government employees has gone down because they've been firing and laying off people, getting rid of union workers. But the number of people who work for the government has gone up faster than at any time in history. That what they've been doing is they've been taking jobs the government employees had and they've been handing them over to private contractors. So the corporations get more power, the government employees and the unions get less power, but the size of government is actually increasing. I guarantee you they are going to be claiming that they shrunk the size of government, when in fact they have increased it. They have simply privatized it. Anyhow, they criticize bureaucracy while they make it larger in both government and the corporate world. And they have insisted on an elite class controlling government and business. And finally, like Stalin, the neocons have been trying to create a cult of personality. Look at Bush's landing on the aircraft carrier. Look at this photograph of George Bush as if he was Jesus Christ with the halo around his head. Excuse me. All of it, pardon me. See, I'm allergic to it. All of these things together, I think, should give all of us pause. They should cause us to say, you know, what is going on here? The neocons are dangerous to the United States of America. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The FBI has now issued a global alert for four Arab Muslim men wanted for questioning. The law enforcement agency has been wanting to interrogate the men, who are said to be two Saudis, a Moroccan, and a Tunisian, for several months, but new information has now made the search more urgent. The story from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
Wanted: Zubair Al-Rimi, Adnan Shukri Juma, Karim Al-Majadi, Abdurruf Judei. The FBI warns these individuals should be considered armed and dangerous. American law enforcement officials want to talk to the men because they have some intelligence which suggests they are tied to an unspecific plot against U.S. interests. One of the men is thought to have ties to Al-Qaeda, and the FBI's counterterrorism chief admits Al-Qaeda does have a presence in America, a very small number of people who work on raising funds for operations and obtaining fake documents. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
The United Nations Security Council is preparing now to meet in New York to discuss an American call for a more multinational force to be sent into Iraq. Under a proposed resolution, the coalition is pledging to give up some political control in Iraq to the United Nations in return for military and financial aid for the country's reconstruction. But as correspondent Suzanne Chislett reports, many European nations have already voiced opposition to the proposal.
It's the first gathering since most of Europe's foreign ministers took their summer breaks, and it promises to plunge them straight back into thorny debates. As well as Iraq, the much-discussed plans for a common EU defence policy are on the table. Germany, Belgium, Luxembourg and France are all in favour of establishing a new European Union military headquarters independent of NATO, but the proposal has been criticised by Britain and slammed by Washington. Italy, which currently holds the EU presidency, has also asked that the final text of the EU constitution be signed and sealed by mid-December. Suzanne Chislett, London.
President Bush, meanwhile, is preparing to ask Congress for more money to rebuild Iraq, and Wise says he's not sure how much. There are reports he could ask for as much as $80 billion.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... but on the inside, I'm all... because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
More Americans are finding themselves out of work these days. The Labor Department's latest jobless report says employers cut 93,000 jobs in August, the fastest pace since March. The overall employment rate's now at 6.1%, down from 6.2%. Today's numbers come just a day after President Bush said the economy is improving. Weeks of negotiations between Verizon and unions representing 79,000 of its workers may be paying off. Verizon, the Communications Workers of America, and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers have reportedly agreed in principle to a five-year labor deal.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Attorneys for Oklahoma City bombing conspirator Terry Nichols are in court today. More from reporter Cherry Cordingley.
Defense attorneys for Terry Nichols say there is no way he can get a fair trial anywhere in the state for the 161 counts of first-degree murder he's facing in connection with the Oklahoma City bombing. To make their point, the defense has called three witnesses so far. One of them was federal public defender Susan Otto, who briefly represented Timothy McVeigh following the bombing. She knew 12 people killed in the blast, and her own office was heavily damaged. She said a one-down, one-to-go attitude exists in Oklahoma, and that people are divided on two fronts. Those who believe Nichols should have been given the death penalty in his federal trial, and those concerned about the ever-increasing cost of the Nichols murder case. Otto said the passage of time has not eased Oklahomans' feelings about the case. In preparation for today's hearing, Judge Stephen Taylor said he visited the Oklahoma City Memorial and Museum. In Oklahoma City, I'm Terry Cordingley.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ask Shirley MacLaine, and she may tell you she was Marie Antoinette or even Zeus in another life. Believe that or not, I'll tell you about some real automotive reincarnations when I come back. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You won't need a seance to see where your old car might have gone. Just drive to your new car dealer, because 12 million vehicles were recycled last year. Thanks to Open Loop Recycling, any scrap of steel liquefied in the process melting furnace can be reformed into any shape. That means fenders of old Crown Vicks or Caprices might reincarnate as hoods of brand new Mercedes. And like the mythological Phoenix, steel conquers its trial by fire and is actually strengthened in the recycling process. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space. Oh, we can do that real special. From the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, and also Stream 145, and also on the IEAmericaRadio.com website, on internet radio stations, radiopower.org, and live365.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. What do the neocons have communist roots? What have we learned from the debates about the future of the Democratic Party? Our questions for the first 2 hours, the things we've been looking over. And I want to just pull all this stuff together. The Democratic Party, the neocons, the communists, the trade policy, the debates from last night. Let's synthesize some of these things. And now that we've had this big overview, those of you who have been listening for the whole show, and even if you just tuned in, we'll make it, it'll all hang together here. One of the questions that was asked, first of all, let's deal with the religion of trade. The religion of trade is one that is intrinsic to the conservative worldview. And interestingly, many people on the left have adopted this because it just seems so self-evident. Trade is good.
trade should be free. We should be able to trade with anybody we want, anywhere we want, anytime we want. It should be easily done. Why? Well, it creates prosperity. Didn't Bill Clinton tell us that if we could have free international trade, it would create millions of jobs? Yes, he did tell us that. Did it? Well, sort of. Actually, we lost manufacturing jobs during the Clinton administration after he signed NAFTA and GATT. And we've lost millions, over 2.5 million manufacturing jobs since George Bush came into office. And I'm telling you, it's not entirely George Bush's fault. It goes back to NAFTA and GATT. But what about free trade? What about, I mean, the Democrats were discussing this last night. They were debating it. And I'm sitting there going, these guys don't understand these core concepts. I don't think any of these guys have ever taken a class in economics. I mean, it's certainly true of the Republicans. I can tell you they are absolutely clueless. The policies that the conservatives have been following are destined to doom America. Yeah, I know there's demagogues out there saying, oh, they hate America. Not just demagogues, there's rational folks on the left as well. Oh, those conservatives, they hate America. That's why they're doing it. They're trying to turn us into a third world nation. Actually, I think they have the best of intentions. I call me naive. I really think that pretty much everybody has the best of intentions. They think they're doing the best thing for this country. They just don't get it, the damage that they're doing. Because they don't understand these core principles. It's like George Bush not understanding that you can't spend more money than you have. Now, I suppose we can forgive George Bush for not understanding this, because in his whole entire life, he's probably never been in a situation where he was able to spend more money than he had. I mean, his grandfather, Prescott Bush, made his fortune, or part of it, dealing with Hitler. Actually, he lost part of his fortune when Franklin Roosevelt found out, outed him, causing Prescott to swear eternal vengeance against the Democrats. But he created a dynasty, as did Barbara Walker's family. I mean, these were two dynastic families. Very wealthy, very huge, old line money, married together in George and Barbara Bush, produced the offspring George W. Never in his life has he been able to spend more money than he has. He's wherever he went, he could whip out the credit card and buy whatever he wanted. And if he got in a pinch, his daddy's friends would bail him out. He wants to buy a sports team. Oh, heck, we'll sell some of your stock for an inflated price to Osama bin Laden's brother. Everything's fine. There was always more money where that came from. Through his whole entire life, for George W., there's always more money where that came from. So you can understand why he would think that, you know, hey, we can give money back to rich people that's being taken from them in taxes. After all, isn't it their money? Well, no. We have this social contract that says if you want to live in America and you want to make use of the blessings of America, you have to pay the price. If you want us to maintain a court system that's going to enforce your business contracts, if you want us to maintain an education system that's going to provide you with a skilled and intelligent workforce, if you want us to provide a road system so that your employees can get to work every day, if you want us to provide an air traffic control system so that your private jet can get you from here to there, if you want us to provide a currency that's stable so that you can make money and you can actually keep it, if you want us to do those things, you're going to have to pay part of the price. I'm sorry, it's called the social contract. If you don't like it, you can leave this country. And a lot of corporations, of course, are saying, well, we don't like it, and so we're going to leave this country. We're going to reincorporate in Bermuda, like Halliburton, but we're going to keep doing business here. That way we don't have to pay taxes. A lot of people thought that was treason. But the Republicans changed the rules recently, so it's legal. But in any case, George W. never really understood, in my opinion. I don't think it's because he's evil. I think arguably he may be, but I don't think that that's why he did his tax policy. I think his tax policy came out of, I shouldn't say he's, I think he's, well, I don't know. There's those incidents when he was a kid where he stuck firecrackers and frogs and blew them up and
and where he made fun of the people on death row that he killed, it does give me pause. I sometimes wonder about his mental health. But setting that aside, I don't want to get this into too personal. I think the whole point of it is that he thought that he could simply spend money that wasn't there, because that's been the story of his life. And he had people around him saying, you can't do that. And he fired them. There were no functional economists left in the Council of Economic Advisors. The same thing happened with Reagan. He had to fire all his economists. He ended up with David Stockman, who was a former congressman, knew nothing about economics, confessed it all in a book later. So we've got this situation where they don't understand the fact that if you don't pay the taxes equal to the expenses, then you create debt. And if you create debt, two things happen. One, you have to pay interest on the debt, which means that you have to have even more taxes. So the tax decrease, the tax cut, so-called by the Republicans, was actually a tax increase because it increased our national debt, which increased the interest payment obligations. And number two, the principal has to be paid back someday. The longest T-bill that you can buy that the United States government sells is 30 years. Within 30 years, all of that debt has to be either paid back or rolled over. And if you roll it over, you keep paying interest on it. But, you know, George didn't understand that. Probably still doesn't. So, you know, we're going to pay the price for that. Well, the same thing with trade, which is where I started on this thing. Historically, go back and read Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. Historically, the reason why nations trade with each other is not to create domestic jobs. And in fact, international trade very rarely purely creates jobs. It causes you to create some jobs and lose others. Because the things that you're buying from a foreign country are made by people working in that country. So those jobs aren't here. But the things you sell to that country are made by things by people working here, and so they've got jobs here. And so, you know, in the best of all possible universes, if you had true free trade, which is an impossibility, and we've gone through why that is before. I don't want to get into the whole thing again, but there is never a level playing field, is the bottom line. I mean, there's not even free trade between states. This is a debate that they were having in 1787 when they were writing the Constitution, by the way. These issues were being visited at length. Should the federal government regulate commerce between the states, or should it be free? And they decided the federal government should have the power to regulate commerce between the states, because they knew that there was no such thing as free trade. So anyhow, if you're creating, if you're buying things, if you have open borders and you have free trade, then somebody else in some other country is making stuff and you're bringing it over here and selling it, and so those jobs are over there. Now, how does that create jobs here? Well, it only creates jobs here in the retail sector. It only creates jobs here in one of two ways. One, you've got more people working in retail selling things. You've got more people working at Walmart. Walmart has become the largest employer in the United States, larger than General Motors, which used to be the largest single employer in the United States. And the second way that it creates jobs here, and this is the one that the cons cling to tenaciously and religiously, is that the stockholders of Walmart, not the employees, the stockholders, those who earn their income by sitting on their butts and getting their dividend checks, which are taxed at only 15% instead of 30-some-odd percent like everybody else, and don't pay any payroll tax at all on that, the stockholders get their dividend checks, their profits, and they might buy another yacht. And if they buy a yacht, somebody's going to have to build that yacht, and that's going to create a job in the United States. This is trickle-down economics. Well, you ask, why have trade then? Well, the reason to have trade, and this is what Adam Smith talked about in Wealth of Nations, and it was very clear, is really only the core reason to have trade is singular. There's one good reason for it, and that's it. You have trade because in some other country there is something that you cannot do here, and you cannot get here. We don't grow sandalwood here. So if you want to import sandalwood jewelry, carved sandalwood jewelry, you've got to import it from Thailand or India. As I recall, it's been 30 years since I read Wealth of Nations, but as I recall, one of the examples Smith used was it was three European nations, and one I think it was Ireland, Scotland, and France. One made cheese, one made sweaters, and one made milk or something like that. One made wine, and they could, and because none of them made all three, by trading they could all have all three. So the benefit of trade is that you have access to lots of stuff. That's the benefit of trade. But when trade starts being used as a weapon against the working class, against working people, to lower labor costs and increase wealth among the small number of people who own the businesses, it is not free trade. It is feudalism. It is economic fascism. And that's what we have in the United States right now. This thing has gone completely off the rails. I just noticed we've got Jerry on the phone, and then we've got Mark in Dallas, Texas. Jerry and Mark, we've got a break coming up. I'll take your calls right after the break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, trying to illustrate that the neocons don't understand basic economics, basic international relations. They have a paranoid worldview. Not just the neocons, the conservatives in general. They have a paranoid worldview. And they don't understand how taxes relate to anything, and it is bringing this country to its knees. We must bring about a change. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mom. Dad?
Someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day. Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rates.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I didn't think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There was a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Hold a knife to my throat, to my head a pistol. I never voted for Bill Kristol. Tar me and feather me, take my girl. I never voted for Richard Pearl. I don't care what it is, I will step right in it before I'd vote for Bill Bennett. They'll take over the world if we let them.
And we're not going to let them. We're not going to let them. We're not going to. We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore, right? Jerry, Jerry in North Carolina, 1-800-TALK. Yes, you've called Jerry. Jerry, and then we've got Mark. We've got two calls here, and I've got about 5 minutes, and then we've got a guest in the next segment. Sorry to hurry you along, but welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good evening, or good afternoon, hey. I mean.
Hey, Jerry.
Someone made a comment last night. I don't know who it was. Maybe you can tell me that if we're going to put Americans back to work, we need to slash corporate welfare and use that money to promote small business, because small
yes.
business will not move offshore on it.
It was Howard Dean who said that.
Okay. And you know, to as I was thinking about that, there's another point that even strengthens that even farther. As we move more and more past peak oil, as the whole world is going to have to think about goods being manufactured on a more regional basis, because the cost of transportation is going to keep going up and up and up, and it's never going back down again.
Well, maybe. Jerry, you make a good point, and thanks for the call. I appreciate that. However, you know, wind is free. When the first ships that came to North America from Europe came, they did not pay for fuel to get here. They, you know, wind was free. So I wouldn't discount that. Don't ever discount the possibility of human ingenuity. I think that the end of oil may be a wonderful thing, an absolutely marvelous thing for America, because it's going to leap us forward into the 21st century in a way we really should. 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937. Mark in Dallas, Texas is on the line. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Great explanation on free trade and Adam Smith's discussion that it was focused on things that you don't produce in your country, but it doesn't necessarily apply to things that you can produce, but you ship offshore just so that you can produce it at a lower cost. And the reason I bring that up is because the latest trend is outsourcing. And
right.
I would like to issue a challenge to all of those white-collar, quote-unquote, cube rats out there to take to heart the fact that a lot of white-collar jobs are now going overseas, being treated as a product that can be traded vis-a-vis between nations and free trade. I've been unemployed now for 38 months, and there are just fewer and fewer professional jobs out here to be found, and we know why.
And it's going to get worse. We played on this program a couple of weeks ago a tape recording of an IBM conference call where they were discussing how they were going to deal with the political fallout internally and externally of 3.5 million, not just IBM employees, but 3.5 million white-collar employees in the United States over the next decade losing their jobs to India. because these were jobs in accounting and sales and tech support that can be done by telephone or by modem.
And the question that I have to everyone in challenging those people that don't want to consider the impact is, what am I supposed to retrain for?
That's right. It's insane. It's absolutely insane, Mark. You have absolutely touched the core issue, and that is that trade doesn't exist in a vacuum. There's no such thing as free trade. You have trade within the context of particular rules, and those rules reflect your values as a society. If your value as a society is to make the rich richer and create a feudalistic, fascistic state where a very small number of people have absolute power and rule by terror, then do exactly what we are doing now, because that's the direction we're going. If, on the other hand, you want to have a state where people have some security in their workplace, some security in their jobs, some safety in their employment, where they have access to health care and access to good education and an actual retirement opportunity, then you change your international trade policies so that people cannot export jobs. No problem exporting things that are made here that other people can't make, but there is a big problem exporting, or importing for that matter, jobs. It simply shouldn't be done. Thanks, Mark. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Any new contract between the United Auto Workers and the Big Three car companies may result in bad blood between the UAW and their Canadian brethren. One of the issues reportedly on the table during negotiations is Ford Motor Company's plans to upgrade a plant in Ontario. The UAW wants the upgrades to happen instead at a factory in Georgia. Ford went through negotiations with the Canadian auto workers last year, but did not commit to improving the Ontario plant as part of the deal.
A Senate Democrat says he's lined up enough votes to overturn a Bush administration plan to roll back the number of workers who qualify for overtime pay. An amendment to a spending bill by Senator Harkin of Iowa would block a move by the Bush administration's Labor Department to amend the Fair Labor Standards Act. Critics say the plan would close the door on time and a half pay for a net 8 million American workers. While the Bush plan would automatically bring time and a half pay to workers paid less than $22,000 a year, Linda Chavez-Thompson, vice president of the AFL-CIO, says the move would close the door on overtime pay for many more low-income workers.
Under the Bush plan, some working families who are eligible for food stamps would not be eligible for overtime pay. This is wrong.
A recent poll by the AFL-CIO found that Americans oppose changes to overtime rules by a 3-to-1 margin.
Rumblings of trouble between U.S. Airways and its airline mechanics. U.S. Airways is considering outsourcing the maintenance of its Airbus jets to an outside contractor. The airline just exited bankruptcy earlier this year, and a company spokesman says they're still looking at ways to save money. But a spokesman for the International Association of Machinists says outsourcing work on the Airbus fleet is unacceptable, and if it happens, it'll automatically trigger a strike.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit our website, laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Boil me in oil, cast me into hell. I'd never vote for Dan Quayle. More scary than Brainy. I did not vote for Dick Cheney. I got a cat named Fluffy. I keep a dog named Reagan. Now who the hell is Robert Kagan?
It must have been a short clip.
They'll take over the world if we let them. They'd like to take over the world. I'm not kidding.
Their trade I guess there was more to that clip to the conservative movement out there. Maybe our phone just retrained. This is in the event you didn't hear what I just said. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast and border to border. We've been talking about the conservative movement in the United States, their trade policies, their tax policies, all of these other strange policies that they have. And one of their other policies has to do with how they view women and the role of women in society. Back in 1872, a young woman by the name of Sarah Bradwell, actually it was in 1870, graduated from law school in Illinois. And in 1871, she showed up in a courtroom to practice law her first day. The judge looked down at her, pointed out to her that she was a woman, with which she agreed, and then told her that she had to leave. He would not have a woman practicing law in his courtroom. Threw her out. She sued. It went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, 1872, Bradwell versus State of Illinois. And in that ruling, you'll find a whole riff about this in the book Unequal Protection, the book that I wrote. In that ruling, she said the United States Supreme Court said that the sole pervading purpose of that's the wrong phrase, but anyhow, the main purpose of women was to fulfill the role of wife, helpmate, and mother. And that she, Sarah Bradwell, and other women did not have access to rights under the Bill of Rights, including Fourth Amendment right of privacy, Fifth Amendment rights of self-incrimination, and on they went. And there were all these rules at that time that constrained women, and of course they didn't have the right to vote and many other basic rights. In 1973, as I recall, the United States Supreme Court looked back at the Bradwell versus State case and other cases that had denied women rights, and ruled in a breathtaking landmark case that women in fact do have equal rights with men. This was the real issue in Roe v. Wade. Was not whether or not abortion should be legal. That was a piece of it, but really it was whether or not women have the Fourth Amendment right of privacy, which had already been established for white males going all the way back to 1787 when the Constitution was first written. And the United States Supreme Court ruled that they did. Now the conservatives, the neoconservatives and the conservatives in our government and in the airwaves are trying to roll that back. They don't think that women should have the right of privacy. And I'm telling you, this transcends abortion. Abortion is just one dimension of this. The ultimate agenda is much larger than this. Listen to their syncopants, Jerry Falwell and company. This is a huge anti-female agenda. Anyhow, David Selden is the communications director of NARAL. You'll have to correct my pronunciation of that, David. Pro-Choice America. Previously, he was senior vice president with strategic communications firm of Robinson, Lehrer & Montgomery, where he provided strategic counsel, executive speech writing, and editorial services for America Online. David served as President Bill Clinton's staff on his staff in the White House press office and at the Democratic National Committee, as well as on his 1992 campaign and the 1997 inaugural committee. David, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thanks for having me on, Tom. Pleasure to be with you, and I'm really thrilled to hear you getting to the heart of the matter, which is privacy. That what the right wing is trying to do is say that the government has a right to be in the most personal decisions that anyone has to make.
Yeah. And they want to overwhelm it. First of all, NARAL, N-A-R-A-L, this is the National Abortion Rights Action League.
That was its former name. We're currently just known as NARAL, Pro-Choice America.
Okay.
But we do fight for a woman's right to choose abortion and the right to privacy generally.
Yeah. And so you're the right to privacy for women or in general?
For everyone. Even you and me.
So sort of like the ACLU, their core issue is the First Amendment. Your core issue is the Fourth Amendment. Is that accurate?
I guess you could put it that way. I had never thought of it in those terms, but I think that's right. I mean, that clearly our primary focus is abortion rights and reproductive freedom and people's absolute right to decide for themselves when they want to have a family and when they're ready to be parents and not have that forced upon them by anyone else. And the right to privacy is so clearly entwined with that that you can't separate the two out.
Yeah, I would think as a strategic and political and PR move that the more you could position yourself as a Fourth Amendment's rights group rather than an abortion rights group, the more successes you'd have. But that's just my, speaking as an old advertising and PR executive. The execution of Paul Hill this week. This guy who killed an abortion doctor down in Florida in 1994. I'm wondering what your feelings are about the death penalty regarding Hill.
Well, we don't take a position on the death penalty. It's not an issue that our organization has taken sides on. What I think is really important to note with this case is that the threat of violence and really what amounts to terrorism is a daily reality for doctors who provide reproductive health services and people who work with them, and that the militant wing of the anti-choice movement has been one of the most successful, essentially terrorist enterprises in history. I mean, they have really threatened and coerced and scared doctors out of providing health services. The majority of medical students in this country say that they are afraid even to learn how to perform abortions because they don't want to risk the threat of someone walking in front of their car and blasting a shotgun through their windshield, which is what Mr. Hill did.
Right. David Selden, Communications Director of NARAL, Pro-Choice America. NARAL, am I saying it
right? NARAL.
NARAL, thank you. I've read it many times. Never said it out loud.
Pronounce it any way you'd like, and come see us at prochoice.org, prochoiceamerica.org.
Prochoiceamerica.org. Great,
yeah.
Thank you. Now, David, one of the hallmarks of this administration is that they are absolutely doctrinaire. I mean, they've got their eye on the prize, and they're moving towards it, and who cares if it has anything to do with reality, anything to do with the Constitution, anything to do with a positive future for America? You know, tax cuts, gung-ho, Iraq, gung-ho, destroying unions, gung-ho. And now they have got this burr under their saddle about women's rights to privacy, reproductive rights, and this goes way beyond abortion, by the way. These folks are anti-birth control as well.
It is absolutely right that they are opposed to birth control. They are opposed to stem cell research that could save countless lives and help cure diseases. Because at some theoretical level, there's some risk that somehow, an abortion is going to be performed. Their adherence to an absolute, as you say, doctrinaire ideology on this is clear, and it goes way back to when George Bush first ran for governor of Texas. he said in an interview that he would do whatever he possibly could, and I don't have the words exactly right, to end a woman's right to choose, and he has certainly been doing his part to make good on that pledge as president.
Well, let's very quickly here go through the list. What are the things that I understand that September, that this month, is going to be anti-choice month on Capitol Hill? I mean, that they've got all these initiatives planned. They're rolling these things out. Some of them are legislative. Some of them are administrative. Some of them are PR offensives. I have a list here. I'm assuming that you do, or shall we go through my list?
Well, why don't we go through your list? Because there's, you know, the lists are long. Whoever's got them, they really have.
Okay. Well, let's just start.
Known to man.
Number one, they want to outlaw late-term abortion without a health exemption. I don't think that anybody, I don't think any rational woman would have an eighth or ninth or probably even seventh month abortion. I mean, I'm the father of three kids. I delivered two of, actually, Louise would always correct me. She'd say, I caught two of our three kids. She delivered them. But you know, by the seventh, eighth, ninth month that there's somebody in there. And but there are situations where if a woman doesn't abort a baby, sometimes even right up against the edge of birth, she will die. They're rare, but they happen. And these guys want to make that illegal, right?
That's right. And it by the way, I just want to correct you, because it's not only late term. It is, they are banning specific procedures that, in fact, are sometimes used as early in the second trimester of pregnancy, when that is the safest way to proceed in certain troubling medical situations. It is the first time ever that we will in this country criminalize a safe medical procedure. It is an absolute intrusion, again, on a very private relationship between a woman and her doctor. As you point out, without even an exemption that says that when this procedure is necessary to prevent death or serious health risk, which is, by the way, what the Supreme Court has required, as a necessary component of any law like this. They are just so doctrinaire and taking away these rights.
Another one, they have this Unborn Victims of Violence Bill. Tell us about this.
Well, the best description I've heard of the Unborn Victims of Violence Bill came from Orrin Hatch, who's certainly no friend of ours, who said very plainly, they say it undermines abortion rights. They're right, it does. Those are his words. Basically, what this is a sham. They have claimed that what they're trying to do is make sure that there's a law that will punish people who commit violence against a pregnant woman such that their pregnancy is ended or the fetus is harmed in some way. Our organizations like ours, are absolutely committed to women's right to become a mother and have a family when she chooses to, and we think that those kinds of crimes are absolutely outrageous, should be punished severely, and that you can do that in a way that is consistent with reproductive freedom. But what they have done is they have snuck into this bill what is clearly their real goal, which is defining the fetus as a person.
But they could simply, sort of like with hate crimes, instead they could simply say if you harm a woman who's pregnant, there's a higher crime, there's a higher penalty than if you harm a woman who's not pregnant. If you do a crime for racial hatred, it's a different penalty than without.
That's right. Instead, and there's actually an alternative in Congress that's been introduced by Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren in the House and Senator Dianne Feinstein in the Senate, that's called the Motherhood Protection Act, that would do just that. It would actually create a separate federal crime for right. violence that results in injury or death to a pregnancy.
Got it. David, pardon me for interrupting you here, but we've got a caller. I really want to move through these things. We only have a few more minutes left.
Well,
on the
it's a long today. List. So let's.
Yeah,
try
we're
and
talking with we're talking with David Selden of NARAL, Pro-Choice America, and Paul in Venice, California, is on the line. Paul, welcome
Hi, Paul.
To the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. Something, the Paul Hill thing. He found that doctor because they allow you. The Supreme Court cleared the way for us to publish people's names and addresses and pictures and put them on the internet. And I think progressives haven't used that to their advantage, like having Karl Rove's name and address. And as long as it's available to us, we might as well utilize it.
Well, I don't think that anybody would wish on Karl Rove, no matter how much they may detest him.
No, I'm not saying that, but it'd be nice to protest in front of his house, and they have a mobilized, you know, 500 people in front of the head of Nike's house marching about sweatshops.
Interesting. What about that, David? Have you considered taking offensive actions against the folks who are trying to stop Trish?
We wouldn't condone violence, and we wouldn't want to do something like that. We want to be very aggressive in confronting the very real threat to our rights and to women's rights that this administration poses, and we are working very hard to stand up and be heard.
Yeah. Okay, but you're not going to protest out in front of Orrin Hatch's house?
I think that's probably not something that we would do.
Yeah. In other words, you don't always fight fire with fire, because sometimes that you just end up with everybody burned.
Yeah, we are never going to be able to stoop as low as the other side does, so why should you even try?
Yeah, why begin? The global gag rule. Tell us about the global Senate Bill 925.
Well, there was a provision that was originally put in under Ronald Reagan that said that the United States would not provide assistance to the United Nations Family Planning Administration if they were supporting clinics where not even abortions are being performed, but where doctors are giving women honest information about abortion and talking to them about their options, and this is overseas. President Clinton came in and lifted that ban. It was an administrative thing, and George Bush came in on his first working day in office, slapped it right back into place. Senator Barbara Boxer succeeded in getting a measure passed through the Senate, at least, that would lift the ban. It's in a closed-door conference committee right now, and given who's in control of Congress, we don't have high hopes, but you never know. And, in fact, just last week, Tom, late on Friday afternoon as everybody is leaving town for Labor Day weekend, which if, you know, you say you worked in the public relations industry, you know what that means. It means that they're going to sneak out something bad.
Right.
And, in fact, they announced that they were expanding this policy to cover every program that the State Department has, so that if there is a group somewhere that we are supporting because they promote democracy or they help people in the third world, in poor countries in the third world, if any part of that program is a medical clinic somewhere where a doctor has once looked at a woman who's in a crisis situation and said, you know, abortion is an option you might want to consider, that we're going to cut off funding for that program.
Incredible. David, we have a break coming up, and I just toss a question. I'll let you think about it, and you can come back from the break. One of the interesting strategies that folks like Al Sharpton used with regard to Iraq was saying, why don't we return to the draft? And it suddenly makes it real for people. I wonder if you have any stealth representatives who might introduce legislation saying that if a woman receives an abortion, she goes to jail for 20 years, something to that effect, as to make it real for people what that side is.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
When the gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express. Sears. Good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows, and my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't doing enough. I still had flakes and my scalp felt dry and itchy. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers.
Doctor recommended Celsin Blue as a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff, plus it keeps hair and scalp healthy and itch-free.
If your dandruff shampoo can't handle black, do what I did. Switch to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
It's new. It's a new choice, and it's here now. It's new Levitra. Levitra Vardenafil HCL. And it's time to ask your doctor. Levitra. It's new. It's news. And it's available by prescription only. So find out about Levitra. Call 1-866-LEVITRA. Visit Levitra.com or talk to your doctor about the new choice. New Levitra. Call 1-866-LEVITRA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show. Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've been talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, let me just...
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I gotta end this song, but then what's the rush? Did I mention I never voted for a George Bush? Like half of the people, maybe a little bit more. I voted for Al Gore.
Yeah, a little more than half. Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and we are talking today with the from I am always going to mispronounce that. NARAL! Thank you, David. Whenever I start to say it, you just pop in there. David Selden, who is the communications director from NARAL, Pro-Choice America. David, give us the website again.
It is www.prochoiceamerica.org.
Prochoiceamerica.org.
Come see us and sign up for our Choice Action Network.
Yeah. Have you thought about having somebody like, you know, well, Dennis Kucinich, he voted against women's rights to choose for years and years, and when he became a presidential candidate, changed his mind.
He is firmly in the pro-choice camp now.
I understand. Have you thought about having somebody though, who like him or somebody who might have a stealth record, introduce something that would shock America into going, holy cow?
Well, we're obviously not as smart as you. We hadn't thought of it, but it is certainly an interesting idea because it does get to the heart of the matter, which is that George Bush and his allies want to take women who are facing the most difficult and troubling and private decision that a person can possibly make, and substitute Mr. Bush's moral judgment for their own and make them criminals for doing what they decide is best for them and their families.
Well, in a very real way, David, he's suggesting the death penalty. When I was growing up, I'm 53 years old. When I was a kid, abortion was illegal in the United States, and women routinely died from getting abortions.
That's right.
And so we're talking about creating a situation where women are going to die if they make that choice. And, you know, I think we're probably all of the opinion it's not a choice any of us would like to make. But, you know, this is the situation. And I think, you know, something that really pushes it in the face of Americans needs to be done. David, thank you very much for being on the program today. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much for having me, Tom.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And thanks all of you for listening. Thank you for joining us today. Our program today was engineered down in Detroit by Steph Stryker and John Lucas, produced by Louise Hartman and Joe McPherson down in Atlanta. Thank you, Louise. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Steph and John. Stay tuned. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. We'll be back. This is Tom Hartman.
This ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio.